Last week, when we were talking about the first part of Acts chapter 4, we heard what it means to be bold for God, that we are willing to listen to him above all, and even willing to listen to him when it means going against everything that the world says. Peter gave us a good example of what that means. But even with all of that, we might still be wondering, well, how can I be bold for God? I mean, it's good that Peter was bold, and sure, he gives a good example, but I'm not really sure how to face my own situation. I'm not really sure how I can truly be bold. And so our reading for tonight, from this part of Acts chapter 4, shows us where we can find such boldness. It shows us what we can do. And so in the first part of this chapter, Peter and John and the others had been threatened by the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin told them to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. Don't say anything at all. Don't preach in this name anymore. And it was pretty clear that their threat was a legal one. There will be severe consequences and a severe punishment if you continue on in this way. So what's the first thing that they do when they are let go? Well, Luke tells us in verse 23, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So the first thing they do is to go back to their fellow Christians and tell them everything that has happened. And already in this verse, Christians, we see the first step of finding boldness for God. If we want to be bold, we should join together with the church. God has not made us to be Christians all by ourselves. It's not that I'm a Christian and other people happen to agree with me. Rather, God has made us to be the body of Christ. And being part of that one body of Christ means that we are called to do all things for God together. This is why Jesus sent out his disciples two by two. I mean, one might be bold enough, but two will be able to help each other. This is why God calls us to gather together for worship, to gather together here in church. Because when we are here, we're not only worshiping God, we're also building up one another. We're supporting each other. We're helping each other grow as Christians. And it's like Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so Christians, when we are struggling, when we're really not sure what to do, we can take it to the church. We can gather together with one another. And I can pretty much guarantee that many times when we're struggling with something, when we're faced with some difficulty, it's not something that we need to deal with right now. It's probably something that's going to take some time to get through. And so what better thing to do then than to gather together with other Christians to find strength and support in our time of need? But Christians, our strength and boldness does not just come from being together, as if there's just strength in numbers. Rather, we are the body of Christ. We're united together in God. And so the first thing that the church does when seeking that strength, when seeking that boldness, is to turn to God in prayer. And notice how the church here in our reading starts their prayer. Verse 24. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. So they recognize then that God is the one in control of all things. They recognize that he is the one who commands all things that are happening. He is the one who made the heavens and the earth. He is the one who made the seas and everything in them. And if he did that, if he created all things, he certainly still controls them as well. God, our suffering is not somehow beyond God's power. Whatever situation we find ourselves in is not beyond his care or concern. God wants to help us, and he will deal with this situation as well. And so if we want to find boldness then, Christians, we can join together in that prayer, calling on God as our Master and our Father, the one who will help us in whatever situation we are in. He will make all things work together for good for those who love him. And because they know this, because they know that God is in control of all things, the disciples also lift up their problems to the Lord. They quote Psalm 2 here, which we also spoke this evening. And it's a perfect psalm to use because it talks about the struggles of God's people. But it also talks about the control which God has over everything. As Psalm 2 verse 6 says, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill." God shows his power and his control by establishing his son Jesus Christ as the king over all things. We can find comfort in the power of the Lord. But the reason why they quote this psalm especially is to talk about their own problems, to talk about what they're going through. They say in verse 27, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel." They had seen firsthand how Jesus suffered at the hands of Pilate and also of the Jews. They saw all of the things that he went through. And now they were seeing also in their own lives their own suffering, the things that they were dealing with, how the Sanhedrin was telling them to be quiet, threatening them to keep silence about Jesus. Their enemies were not only fighting against them, but they were also fighting against God and against his anointed Jesus. And through their example, Christians, we can see that we should also bring our own troubles to the Lord, to call on him in the midst of our distress, to call on him whenever we're suffering for his sake. Because I know that we're always tempted to do these things on our own. We're always tempted to say, well, I'll deal with this problem. It's something I can take care of. It's something I can get through, so I don't need anyone else's help. I don't need to turn to anyone. But has God not commanded us to pray, Christians? Has he not told us that we can bring all of our sorrows and our troubles to him? That he will hear us and he will answer us and he will do something about all of our difficulties. And how can we stand apart from God? How can we truly be bold without him? God will strengthen us for all things, no matter what it may be. If we don't know what words to say, we can pray, and God will give them to us. If we don't know what to do, we can pray, and God will show us what we should do. If we don't know how to stand, we can pray, and God will strengthen us and lift us up again. As Psalm 55 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." God will care for us in all things. But now that they've laid out all of these things, the disciples in our reading come to the point of their prayer. They say in verse 29, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats, and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness." So they say, you know what they intend to do, Lord. You know what our enemies want to do to us, but give us the boldness to continue to speak. So they're really asking for two things in this prayer. On the one hand, they're asking that God would look upon the threats that are in front of them and bring all of these evil things to an end, that God would not allow their evil plans to succeed. And it is good and right for us to pray against evil, you know, to say things like, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, or to hinder and break all evil in the world. It's okay for us to ask God that he would stop evildoers, that he would break the plans of the wicked. It's okay to ask for things to come to an end. But secondly, and perhaps more importantly, they ask for boldness. Hinder evil, God, but above all, help us to stand, so that even if that evil continues, even if we continue to suffer, we will be able to do what is right for your sake, that we will continue to listen to your voice and continue to do what you want us to do. And Christians, this should help us shape our own prayers as well. When we pray for strength and for boldness, we can also ask that God would bring the situation to an end. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But above all, we should ask God that he would strengthen us, that he would give us the boldness to continue. Because God may be using this situation as a way of disciplining us, as a way of building us up in our faith. In fact, Christians, God may tell us no when we ask for something to come to an end. But God will never tell us no when we ask for the strength to endure. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. But there's one more thing that we should note here when talking about these things. And that is that we should also ask for boldness more than once. In fact, I would go so far as to say that we should pray for boldness every single time. That we should ask God to strengthen us every time that we're going to go to speak, or that he would give us boldness before we go to do something that he wants us to do, to ask for it again and again and again. Because Peter had been very bold for God when he was speaking before the Sanhedrin. And yet here he is now asking for boldness to be able to continue to speak. Boldness is a gift that God doesn't just give to us once, as if it's something that we have or we don't have. Boldness is something that comes from God every single time. God does not just give us strength, he is our strength, meaning that apart from him, we are nothing. So we should keep coming back, Christians. We should pray 100 times. We should pray 1,000 times if that's what it takes. Pray every single time that we would have the strength to stand. And God will give us the boldness that we need. And Luke shows this truth to us in the last part of our reading, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So God answered their prayer. God gave them the boldness that they asked for. He even gave them a sign to show that he was going to give it to them, that he shook the place in which they were praying, and then they had the Holy Spirit. And filled with the Spirit, they were very bold, continuing to speak without fear, even despite the threats of the Sanhedrin. they were no longer afraid. And of course, I know we might want a similar sign. How do we know that God has actually heard us whenever we pray for something? Wouldn't it be nice if he'd give us some kind of sign like this to shake the room a little bit whenever we pray to know that he has heard us? But Christians, we don't actually need that, because God has given us the example of the early disciples. He answered their prayer, so what makes us think that he's not going to answer ours? Are we not part of one body? We've seen the example of what he did then. He showed us through them that he will always answer us. And besides, we have the promise that he will hear us and answer us through Jesus Christ, his Son. We don't need to wonder. We know that God will act because of what he has done for us and for his church in every place. Therefore, Christians, if we want to be bold, let us follow the example of these disciples. Let us join together as the church. Let us call on God in prayer. Let us lift up our troubles to him and seek after the Lord, who is our strength. And God will answer us. He will give us the boldness that we need so that we can glorify him in all things, even despite the opposition of the world. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, the one who is our strength and our fortress in every time of trouble, give us the boldness to speak your word without fear, so that we may do what is pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.